Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is February 2026.
Hard to believe we're already here.
Right. And I want you to just take a second, look at your calendar, and then mentally pull up your company's org chart. Because we are standing at what might be the single most expensive and honestly, potentially the most dangerous inflection point in the history of enterprise tech.
Yeah, I don't think that's an overstatement.
I mean, for the last 10 years, we've all been completely obsessed with digital transformation. We patted ourselves on the back for, moving from file cabinets to the cloud or upgrading from messy spreadsheets to a slick SaaS platform.
Which, looking back, it feels like that was just the warm-up act, doesn't it? Just laying the plumbing.
Exactly. That was just getting the pipes installed. Now, if you are a founder, a CTO, or just leading a team anywhere, the game has changed completely.
Yeah.
The competition isn't about who has the best dashboard or the cleanest UI anymore. It is about who has the best intelligence.
Right. We are moving from software that helps you work to software that actually does the work for you.
Yeah.
We're leaving that Copilot era where the AI just sits next to you like an assistant. And we are firmly entering the agent era where the AI is doing the job while you are fast asleep.
But here's the problem, and this is the thing that is keeping every leader I know awake at night. Everyone is rushing to deploy these AI agents. FOMO is at an absolute all-time high right
Oh
now.
yeah, everybody wants one.
But nobody seems to agree on how to actually pay for them or how to build them. Do you build your own AI brain from scratch so you own the IP, you control every synapse, but you burn through a literal mountain of cash? Or do you buy a pre-built solution off the shelf, get moving next week, but risk renting your brain from a vendor?
It is the classic build versus buy dilemma. But the stakes are just exponentially higher now because we aren't talking about a CRM anymore.
Right.
We're talking about the core decision-making logic of your entire company. If you get this wrong, you aren't just overpaying for a software license. You're effectively outsourcing your company's brain.
Which is terrifying. So to navigate this, we are unpacking a really strategic guide today. It's titled Build versus Buy: The 2026 AI Agent Strategic Cost Guide.
It's a great piece of research.
It really is. It comes from Technegean, which is a software development firm out of Southern California, specifically that Irvine and Silicon Beach corridor where a whole lot of this hardware meets software innovation is happening right now.
And what I love about this source material is that it just ignores the hype. It does
Wasn't
not
it?
care about how cool the demo video is or how shiny the interface looks. It
Yeah.
just looks at the balance sheet. It is a harsh financial reality check for where we actually are in 2026.
Absolutely. Before we get into the dollars and cents, and the numbers are frankly pretty terrifying, we need to scrub our vocabulary a bit because I feel like back in, I don't know, 2023 or 2024, literally everything was called an agent.
Oh, yeah. I mean, marketing departments slapped that label on everything.
If it had a text box and it could summarize a paragraph, they called it an agent. So what are we actually talking about now, today, in 2026?
That is a crucial distinction to make. 3 or 4 years ago, when people said chatbot, they really meant a decision tree. The drill press one for sales, press two for support.
Ah, yes.
It was a rigid script.
Yeah.
And if you asked it something even slightly outside that script, it just broke.
The infinite loop of I didn't quite catch that. I think we all have PTSD from those interactions.
Right. And that is not an agent. That is just a glorified answering machine. In 2026, when we say AI agent, we are talking about software that actually perceives its environment, reasons about what needs to happen, and takes autonomous action.
Is doing the thinking.
Exactly. It has memory, it has goals, it doesn't just talk, it does.
So give me a concrete example. What does this look like in the wild? Let's say I run a mid-sized logistics company. I don't want to hear about it writing poetry. I want to know about actual work.
Okay, take a standard customer support scenario. An old school bot might just link you to a help article about lost packages. An AI agent today reads an incoming email, identifies that a shipment is stuck in customs, logs into your ERP system to get the tracking code, logs into the carrier's portal to check the specific delay reason.
Wow.
It generates a new delivery estimate based on current port traffic, and then drafts and sends a personalized email to the customer explaining the exact situation. And it does all of that without a human ever touching a keyboard.
See, that is the holy grail.
Yeah.
That is exactly what every board member wants to see implemented by Q3. But getting there is where the fight really begins. Let's start with the build scenario. The appeal is obvious, right? I want to be the master of my domain. I want to own the data. I want to own the code. I do not want to rely on OpenAI or Salesforce to run my business.
And that is a completely valid desire. Control is the ultimate asset in business. But the Technigian data shows that the price of admission for owning your brain is incredibly steep.
How steep are you talking?
Well, if you're just building a simple agent, which is basically some rules wrapped around a prompt, you're looking at $10,000 to $30,000,
yeah,
which is approachable for most businesses.
That sounds like a bargain, honestly. I mean, that's less than half the cost of a junior employee. If that is the cost, why isn't everyone just doing it?
Because that is just for a simple agent. It is barely smarter than a spreadsheet. The moment you want that agent to have actual memory, what we call RAG or retrieval augmented generation,
right,
where it actually knows your company's specific history and isn't just hallucinating answers, the price jumps to $40,000 to $75,000.
And that is still just for a chatbot that knows stuff. We haven't even gotten to the actual agent part where it logs in and does things.
Correct. If you want what we just described earlier, an autonomous agent that plans, uses tools, and executes tasks, now you are in the $80,000 to $150,000 range.
Wow.
And if you are in healthcare or finance and you need a multi-agent system with strict audit trails and compliance guardrails, you are looking at the big kahuna. That is a $200,000 to $500,000 plus investment.
$500,000 just to get to the starting line.
Just for version 1.0.
Okay, I want to pause there because I think a lot of founders look at that $500,000 number and they rationalize it. They think, okay, that's a lot of money, but it's CapEx. It's a one-time hit. I build the machine and then I own the machine forever.
And that is the single biggest mistake identified in this entire guide. That development cost,
yeah,
that is just the tip of the iceberg. Technigian calls out these massive hidden costs that most people completely ignore until they're 6 months in and just bleeding cash.
So what is the biggest one? What is the thing that blindsides people the most?
Data preparation, without a doubt. The guide states that 60 to 75% of the total project effort isn't writing code. It's cleaning and prepping data.
Wait, 75%? That feels incredibly inefficient. You're telling me I'm paying expensive software engineers $200 an hour to, what? Organize files.
Essentially, yes. And here is why. Think about your company's internal data. It is never as clean as you think it is. It's messy. It's trapped in PDFs. It's in unstructured email chains. It's duplicated in three different SharePoint folders.
Sure, but can't the AI just read the mess? I mean, isn't that the whole point of AI?
That is the big myth.
Mm.
An AI agent is only as smart as the data you feed it. If you feed it garbage, you don't just get a bad answer. You get a confident hallucination.
Mm.
The agent starts making things up because it's trying to bridge the gaps in your messy data. So you have to restructure everything. You have to parse those PDFs. You have to resolve conflicts. If the CRM says the client is in New York, but the latest invoice says NJ, who is right?
The AI doesn't know.
Exactly. A human has to build the logic to decide that. That is weeks and weeks of data janitor work.
Data janitor. That is a painful mental image. You're paying top market rates for someone to scrub a CSV file. But I get why it's necessary. If the brain is foggy, the actions will be wrong. So what else is lurking under the surface of this iceberg?
Integration engineering. We talked earlier about that agent logging into the CRM and the payment processor. Those connections do not happen by magic.
Huh.
Connecting to a legacy ERP, something like an old Oracle or SAP instance, requires significant engineering.
How much?
Technigian estimates about 6 to 8 engineer weeks per integration.
6 to 8 weeks for one single plugin.
Because it's not just plugging it in. It is authentication, it's security, it's error handling. Yeah. What happens if the ERP goes down for maintenance? Does the agent crash? Does it retry in an hour? You have to build all of that logic. So if you need your agent to talk to three different systems, do the math. That's half a year of one engineer's time just to build the pipes.
That adds up so fast. And then once it's finally running, it's not free to operate, right? We have to talk about the token tax.
Right, the inference costs.
Mm-hmm.
Every time that agent thinks, every time it processes a customer request, you are paying the model provider, OpenAI, Anthropic, whoever you're using. For a production level agent, those API costs are typically $500 to $5,000 a month.
Just to keep the lights on, that's a recurring subscription you're paying, even if you supposedly built the tool yourself.
It never stops. And here is the real aha moment from the source material. The initial build cost is often less than 30% of the total cost of ownership over 3 years.
30%.
The other 70% is maintenance, updates, API costs, and compliance.
So if you budget $100,000 to build it,
you actually need to be looking at a $500,000 commitment over the next few years.
That changes the ROI calculation completely.
It does. And that sticker shock is exactly why the buy option looks so incredibly tempting to so many people right now.
Let's pivot to that, because the alternative is I don't build anything. I just pull out the corporate Amex. I subscribe to a platform that promises to do it all for me. It feels safer. It feels faster. Why wouldn't everyone just do that?
Well, it's definitely faster. And the market has really segmented into tiers in 2026. At the low end, you have low-code platforms. These are tools like Voiceflow. You're paying maybe $5,800 a month. It's drag and drop. Very easy.
Which seems incredibly cheap compared to the $500,000 we just talked about.
Because you get what you pay for. These are limited. They're great for a quick prototype, but they struggle with any complex logic. Then you step up to the mid-tier things like Zendesk AI. Now you're paying $500 to $5,000 a month. These are better. They have deeper native integrations.
And the top tier.
At the top, you have enterprise platforms that can cost up to $50,000 a month.
$50,000 a month is a serious subscription. That's $600,000 a year. But even then, you aren't managing a dev team. You aren't scrubbing data as a data janitor. So what is the catch? Why isn't buying the silver bullet?
The catch is the trap. And the biggest trap is something Technigene calls the customization ceiling.
I love that phrase. It sounds like something you hit your head on when you try to jump too high. What does it mean in this context?
It means that pre-built tools work amazingly well for standard problems. If you want a standard customer service bot for a standard e-commerce store, buying is great. But the moment your business logic is unique, say you have a weird approval process for returns, or a really specific way you handle VIP clients in a tiered system, you hit a wall.
You can't change it.
You cannot change the core logic of the platform. You are stuck within their box.
So you basically start changing your business processes to fit the software rather than the software fitting your business.
Which is the exact opposite of what technology is supposed to do. And that kills competitive differentiation. Think about it. If you and your biggest competitor are both using the exact same out-of-the-box AI agent from the exact same vendor, where's your advantage? You've essentially commoditized your own intelligence.
That is a massive risk. And there's also the issue of vendor lock-in with these SaaS platforms.
A huge issue. If you build your entire workflow on a specific vendor's architecture, and then they jack up the price, which, by the way, SaaS models are explicitly designed to do, you are stuck. Moving away means rebuilding from scratch. The guide calls it the success tax. As you grow and get more successful, they just charge you more.
And we really can't ignore the data privacy aspect here either. The guide mentions this specifically for finance and healthcare.
Absolutely. If you buy, your proprietary data is flowing through someone else's pipes.
Yeah.
You do not control the infrastructure. For a generic retail company, maybe that's fine. But for a healthcare company dealing with patient records, or a fintech company handling transactions, that is a massive risk. You are outsourcing your compliance to a third party.
So we have the build scenario, which is expensive, complex, and involves becoming a data janitor, but it gives you total control. And we have the buy scenario, which is fast and easy, but creates a ceiling, a dependency, and potentially lease your IP. This feels like a classic rock in a hard place. How do you actually choose?
Technigene provides a really solid strategic decision framework here. It's not just a gut feeling thing, it's a literal checklist.
Okay, let's run through the checklist. When should you absolutely build? When is the pain actually worth the price?
You build when AI is core to your competitive differentiation. If the AI is the actual value you sell to your customers, you cannot rent it. You have to own it. That's number one.
That makes sense.
Number two is highly regulated industries. Healthcare, finance. If you need a strict audit trail of every single decision the agent made, like why did the AI deny this specific loan? You often need to build that yourself to ensure compliance. You need access to the black box.
And I assume unique workflows are on that build list too.
Yes. If your secret sauce is a complex workflow that literally no SaaS tool supports, you have to build. And finally, look at the long-term math. Sometimes building is actually cheaper over 5 years than paying those escalating SaaS fees that scale with your user base.
Okay, so flip side, when should you buy?
When speed is the number one priority. If you need to solve a problem next week, you buy. Also, for non-core functions. Does your company really need a proprietary HR bot to answer how many vacation days do I have? No, just buy that off the shelf. And lastly, if you simply don't have the engineering resources, if you can't maintain it, do not build it.
There is a third option mentioned in the source material though, the hybrid approach. This seems to be where a lot of the smart money is going right now.
It is. The hybrid approach is just about being pragmatic. Maybe you use a low-code platform to build a quick proof of concept. You test it. You learn. You fail fast. Then once you know exactly what you need, you transition to a custom build.
Right.
Or you build the proprietary logic for your secret sauce, but you use off-the-shelf integrations for the boring stuff, like sending out emails or scheduling meetings.
It's the best of both worlds. You aren't reinventing the wheel, but you aren't stuck in a box either. I want to zoom out a bit, though. We've talked about the what and the why, but let's talk about the how. Because the source material comes from Technigian, and they talk about their specific methodology for clients down in that Southern California tech hub. They use this term, AI-native software development. Now, I hear cloud-native all the time, but what does AI-native actually mean? Is it just a buzzword?
It sounds like one at first, but it's actually a fundamental shift in the software development lifecycle. Traditional software development is very linear. You gather requirements, design the architecture, write the code, and then you test. AI native means you embed reasoning into those phases from day one. You aren't just bolting a chatbot onto an existing app as an afterthought. You are designing the app with the assumption that an AI agent will be operating it.
So the requirements gathering itself has to account for AI decision making.
Yes. You have to define not just what the software does, but how it thinks. And the testing phase changes completely. In traditional software, you test for bugs. Does clicking the submit button crash the app? In AI-native development, you are testing for personality. You are testing for hallucination. You are testing for drift, which is where the AI slowly starts behaving differently over time. It requires a completely different set of protocols.
That's fascinating. It's almost like psychology meets engineering.
It really is.
Yeah.
And to manage the astronomical cost of that, they emphasize something called contract-first development.
That sounds like legal jargon, but I think it means something technical here.
It does. It means before they write a single line of code, they define the API contracts and the architecture. They map out exactly how the data will flow between the agent and all the surrounding systems.
And why is that so important for controlling costs?
Because with AI, it's very easy to get into this endless cycle of tinkering. You write some prompts, see if it works, change the code, try again. That burns hours and it burns your budget. Contract first means you have the absolute blueprint locked in before you start laying bricks. It prevents scope creep, which is the absolute enemy of every budget.
That makes perfect sense. Lock down the specs so you aren't improvising on the clock. And speaking of budget, they have a model they call the hybrid advantage. Now, this isn't about hybrid software. It's about hybrid teams.
This is a direct response to the cost issue we started with today. If you hire a fully onshore team in Santa Monica or Silicon Valley, your burn rate is astronomical. You're paying $200, $250 an hour for developers. If you go fully offshore, you often lose quality control, communication breaks down, and the product suffers because the nuance gets lost in translation.
So what's the middle ground?
Technigian's model is to keep the accountability local. Your project architect, the person actually designing the brain of the agent, is local. In Irvine, you can meet them for coffee, they understand your business culture, but the execution, the coding, the data cleaning, all that repetitive integration work we talked about, that happens with global engineering teams.
So the architect acts as the bridge.
Exactly. They translate your business needs into technical specs that the global team executes on. And the guide says this model results in roughly 30 to 40% cost savings compared to fully onshore models.
Which is huge.
When we are talking about a $200,000 build, that saving is massive. It basically creates the financial buffer you need to pay for all those ongoing maintenance costs we talked about earlier.
So you get the quality and accountability of a local build, but the economics of a global team. That seems like the only way to make the numbers work for a lot of mid-sized companies. And quickly, let's just touch on the tech stack. They mention enterprise-grade foundations like .NET 8, React, and Azure. Why does that matter to a business leader? Why should I care if it's .NET or Python?
It matters because of longevity. We see a lot of AI demos out there built on hacky scripts or experimental frameworks. And that's fine for a hackathon. That's fine for a quick weekend project. But if you're running a serious business, you want enterprise grade. You want stability.
You want boring.
You want boring. You want incredibly boring infrastructure. .NET 8 and Azure are designed to last for 5-10 years. They scale.
Yeah.
You do not want to build an agent that works great for 100 users and then completely crashes when you hit 1,000. You're building a long-term asset, not a toy.
So, bringing this all back to you, the listener, we've covered the costs, the sticker shock of building versus the hidden success tax of buying. We've looked at the hidden iceberg of data prep, which is arguably the scariest part of this whole discussion.
And we've seen that this isn't just a technical coding decision. It is a fundamental business strategy decision.
Right. It ultimately comes down to this. Are you building a utility or are you building an asset? If it's a utility like electricity, you just pay the bill. You don't build your own power plant. But if it's an asset,
then you absolutely need to own it. And for you listening, whether you are a founder in Santa Monica or a director of ops at a large logistics firm, the choice you make right now in 2026 determines your agility in 2027 and 2028. If you lock yourself into a vendor today, you might feel fast right now, but you might be completely paralyzed tomorrow when you need to pivot and the software simply won't let you.
That is the key takeaway. Don't optimize for next week. Optimize for the next 3 years.
And remember, the landscape is moving incredibly fast. The buy options will get better and the build tools will get cheaper. The one constant in all of this is that you need to understand your own data. Because if you don't know your data, neither path will save you.
I want to leave everyone with a final provocative thought to chew on. We talked a lot about competitive advantage today. In a world where every company has access to the exact same foundational models, the same GPTs, the same Claudes, the intelligence itself is becoming a commodity. The true differentiator is how you apply it. So ask yourself, if your company's entire future relies on intelligence, does it really make sense to rent that intelligence from a vendor who is also selling the exact same brain to your biggest competitor?
That is the billion-dollar question.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the reality of AI agents. We hope this helps you navigate the build versus buy maze.
It's going to be a very interesting year.
It certainly is. We'll see you on the next one.